Damian Lillard going back to the Portland Trail Blazers. The reports were the Celtics were interested, offered him probably the vet minimum, but Tatum was recruiting Damian Lillard. He's probably not going to play all season.
No.
He's going to rehab from an injury and hopefully be back for the following season as he's getting into his mid to late 30s. Is it a good thing that they didn't get Damian Lillard?
I think it was a fun story for a couple days.
Yeah.
The fact that he could have been here. Would he have wanted to be like the sixth man off the bench at the veteran minimum? You know, then he had Tatum's talking to him. He's like, oh, there might be some smoke here. But I think in the long run, like, I think he would have taken whatever Portland offered him.
Just go
he
back. Just,
yeah, he didn't. Yeah. From when that happened, I don't think he was a fan of leaving Portland at all. Like,
well,
he had set up shop there. He was happy there.
He wanted to go to Miami.
Yeah.
It didn't get his way. Went to Milwaukee. Didn't work out. So now he goes back to Portland. Will probably end his career in Portland. I've always been a fan of the player, but I didn't really understand the fit here. They have small guards.
Right.
They have Peyton Pritchard. Derek White's not necessarily a small guard, but they have him as well. They need bigs.
Mm-hmm.
They also need guys that can play this season.
Right.
So I didn't want to spend money, even if it was the minimum, or even if they somehow found a way to get him all the way up to the mid-level. I didn't want to pay him that to rehab. And then you're like, all right, now here he comes in with Tatum the following year. I also don't know how much is left in the tank in Lillard. He had a good statistical year this year, but at his age and coming off the injury, we went through this with Tatum. How many guys had really good years or careers after an Achilles injury? Few.
Right. How long will it take him to get even close to 100%?
Yeah.
If he's ever
100%
again, and whatever 100% in his eyes is.
So I'm honestly okay with this. I had a feeling that these two guys might have been using each other. Like, hey, get the interest up in Lillard. Also, the Celtics can look at it and say, see, we're interested in guy. We're interested
right.
in these.
It was a fun story for a couple days.
Yeah.
But it would have been a lot to ask of him, too. You know, he understands he's coming off of surgery. He understands he's a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
He understands he's not the greatest defender. But how does he do accepting that role of the sixth man? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're a superstar, it's probably tough to take that step back.
Yeah, because I wonder, you know, how is he going to fit it? Like, could you even play him and Pritchard together? Like, or would teams just sort of abuse that?
You
know, like having like the one small guard. And Pritchard does what he can defensively, but you can only do so much at that size. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Lillard will go and, you know, hopefully he comes back. It's good for the NBA if you like the more good players you have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think him being here was the right fit, right? Was the right answer or anything like that. So that's now gone. The other conversation that has come up with the Celtics is Jaylen Brown, you know, doing a couple of interviews, also doing like the whatever that was, a podcast or just like a stream with Kyrie Irving the other day. He's very confident in himself,
yep,
which is great. What are the expectations for Jaylen Brown next year for the team as well, but specifically for Jaylen Brown, who has talked a lot about what he has sacrificed and how good he is and, you know, what he's given up for the team and all this. Well, now you're the guy.
Yep.
Like, clearly the guy.
This is what you wanted.
What do you think?
Do you step up?
What do you think it's going
to
be?
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like, this is to see a guy say how he wants to be viewed, how he wants to play.
Yeah.
This literally it fell in his lap.
Yes. Like
now you have no choice. You are the guy. You want to be the guy. Show us that you can do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like Nick and say he's going to get 30 points and 7 rebounds and 12 turnovers. Like Nick just sucked the foot out of it. No,
yes.
I get it. But you're trying
negative
to like,
Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
Negative Nick weighing in.
You know, I'm just hoping that it isn't to the point where you're like, oh my God, he won't stop jacking up shots. You know, you don't want to look at it and be like, oh my God, just stop shooting. But that's how it is in the league. How do you get out of a funk? You shoot your way out of it. You know, it's. But he's going to have to take a lot. Between him and Derek White, there's going to be a lot of shots taken.
I
hope it don't wear him out. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing, too. He wants all the weight on his shoulders. He wants to be seen as that guy. But as a fan, and I'm sure as management and coaches, like, if we're going to even sniff the playoffs,
right.
If we're going to play a round of the playoffs, we need to have him have his legs underneath him.
So last year, looking at it, now, obviously not all these guys played every game, but Jason Tatum, when he was out there, took 20 shots a game.
Mm.
Kristaps Porzingis, when he was out there, took just under 14 shots a game. Drew Holiday took 9, and Horford took 8. That's a lot of shots you're taking
gone,
away.
Right.
Those guys are all off the team. You still have Brown, who was second on the team, just under 18 shots attempted per game. Derek White and Peyton Pritchard combined for 23 shots a game. So the number for White and Pritchard will also go up. as of right now, they still have Anfernee Simons. So like I'm a fan of Simons. That guy will take a lot of shots.
I was gonna say, is he a big shot taker?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I know he handles the ball, but how often is he jacking it up?
No, he will take a bunch of shots. He'll take a bunch of threes. And with Missoula, he'll probably take even more threes than he has out in Portland. But he's three straight years around 20 points per game. Mm-hmm. Now, bad team, so maybe that number goes down, but he'll at least take some of the burden there. But my guess is Jaylen Brown is gonna be towards the top of the league in shot attempts, which he already was even with Tatum. He really should be top of the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Like, I think he kind of has to be by default. And if he isn't, I think some of these comments are going to get kind of thrown back in his face.
That's the worst part about it. Mm-hmm. For a guy who sees everything and hears everything about him, when media starts getting after him about playing like that, who knows how it will impact him.
So he was 22nd in the league in scoring last year on just straight points per game, 22.2. The leader was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 32.7. So I don't know. Maybe he doesn't take a 10-point leap, but it should probably be, if he averages 5 more points, that would put him 5th in the league.
Yeah. Sounds.
I think that's what he should be.
That's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah, I think you know, leading the league in scoring might be too far afield, but if he's top 5, because Tatum, you know, even swap him out, Tatum was 5th in the league in scoring. Only SGA, Giannis, Jokic, and Anthony Edwards scored more per game than Tatum. So those guys will flip-flop. And then the other thing that's going to be be telling with Jaylen Brown is, all right, you're the best player on a team that finished 8th or 4th. Like there's a big kind of sliding scale there. You know, the example I bring up every single time is Scottie Pippen, who's like the prototype great number 2 player. Mm-hmm. Nobody really thought he was the number 1. And I'm not saying Jaylen Brown is Scottie Pippen. I'm just saying, like, in that regard, like a team that won a title, has the accolades, has like the all-star appearances, but you're like, he's not a number 1. When he had a chance to be a number 1, the team still won a ton of games. Mm-hmm. They didn't win the title. He statistically was great, and then also welcomed the great player back. Because that's the other thing that's going to be down the road, something to keep an eye on, is let's say Jaylen Brown has an unbelievable year, like great year, and then Tatum comes back. Like, is he cool with just being like, all right, now it's
go back 2 years.
Now I'm back to being the second guy again. I don't know. Like, it's a fascinating story. I do think that the Eastern Conference is in a state where even the current Celtics roster, which has no big men, like no big men to speak of, I still have them in the top 6. And maybe that's me being too
fanboyish.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's
maybe,
all right. Nothing wrong with
maybe
that.
Maybe it is. But I feel like a Brown, Derek White backcourt kind of puts you in a good spot, doesn't it?
Yeah. I assume that they're going to make the playoffs. You said, because the state of the East is, you know, Cleveland's still a good team. Who knows what the Knicks and the Pacers are going to be this year, you know? The Bucks are always in the mix, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not a crazy idea that they can get, what is it, 10 teams get a playoff chance with the play-ins and all
with
that stuff?
You know? 10, I mean, yeah, so like, it's 10 per conference. 20 of the 30 teams make the playoffs.
Right,
so like,
it's a little insane.
You probably should.
It's a little insane, but if the season starts and you tell me that the Celtics have the potential to be a 7 or an 8 seed, I would not argue that one bit.
So you're looking at the odds to win the Eastern Conference based off of just like Vegas odds, right? So the Cavs are currently the favorite, followed by the Knicks. The Cavs haven't really changed their roster much. I feel like they have to. I feel like they have a massive payroll on their team, too. But we'll see. So Donovan Mitchell, they had the best regular season last year. Obviously, they were disappointing in the playoffs. But they're number 1. The Knicks, who just swapped coaches, but they still have the same roster, they're 2nd. Then the Orlando Magic, who got my guy Desmond Bane. The Philadelphia 76ers somehow are 4th. I don't even consider them. The Bucks are 5th. Hawks are 6th, and then the Celtics are 7th as far as odds to win the conference, followed by the Pistons, which I feel like is kind of low on the Pistons.
Right?
I think
between, you know, after the 04 run that they had,
they died. But then last year,
but they've rebuilt it.
They had one of the great turnarounds from where they were 2 years ago to where they were last year. Mm. They still have Cade Cunningham, who had put up there as top 5 in the conference, but they're low. But so basically, if you just look at that, they have the Celtics as a playoff team, but it looks like a play-in team based just on the odds.
Still
but
in.
Not putting the Hawks or even the Bucks. Like, how good are the Bucks going to be?
Right.
They got rid of Lillard. They bring in Miles Turner. They still have Giannis, who I think is like an underachiever overall. So, like, I think that just speaks to how wide open the East is.
It is.
And if you have Jaylen Brown, and as confident as Jaylen Brown is, then like, all right,
we'll take it.
You should be at the top. Still to come this morning, the best Hill Notes that you have left or will leave for us on the Odyssey app. Hill Notes, a voice note, getting whatever you need to get off your chest on any topic that we have discussed or anything that we have not discussed this morning, and a bunch of them out there. Mitch's lead this morning. Red Sox, couple weeks, less than 2 weeks away from the deadline, what they ought to do when it comes to improving this baseball team. Jaylen Brown apparently has been unhappy with the ask from the Celtics about doing things that other players of his caliber are not asked to do, whatever those are.
That is so such an interesting story.
You can leave a Hill Note on that. You're obsessed with it.
Yeah, because, you know, we're trying to figure out what the Celtics are going to do the year after next, right? Because we kind of all feel like next year is just, you know, it's going to be one of those years where the expectations are not high. So we're all trying to figure out, okay, what's the new potential dynasty that you would love to try, or a new championship team going to look like? And if one of your key players in that
remains unhappy,
how long can you go as an organization?
I just don't understand how he can be unhappy. Like, he's got the max.
Right, but it's not about the money. I told you, remember, athletes?
He's got a ring.
Right.
The two of them together have won themselves a championship. If not for Jason Tatum getting injured, they would be right back in the mix when it comes to teams that you expect to win again. I don't. How are you unhappy if you're in that situation?
Because basketball is truly the one sport where, like, I get in football, the quarterback is always the most important element to your team a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But in basketball, it's the one sport where there can only be one number one.
You like, know, even Scottie Pippen was pissed, and he was winning championships all the time.
Right.
But because he was second fiddle to Michael Jordan, he was just mad.
Okay, but original Big Three, when you had Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
It was Bird.
It was, but the other two knew their role and knew how successful they were because of that. Like, you didn't get Robert Parrish bitching about having to do things that a player of his caliber shouldn't have to do. Like,
right, but if he felt like he was on the same level as Bird, he might have. You know, I would say more McHale than Parrish, because McHale was more of a scorer and an offensive player than Parrish. But if McHale was like, you know what, I'm on the same level as Larry Bird, at times, I'm better than Larry Bird, that might have been an issue with that Big Three. They're always in basketball. That's the unique thing of it. Every team in basketball, you go, he's the guy, and then the other guys are there.
Okay, but you had guys in the history of the sport who, in the Big Three scenario, like, look at D Wade in Miami, like, willing to accept his role.
Right.
Like, I just don't know why you're not delighted with your role at $300 million total max contract. Like, it's weird to me.
Because you want to be Batman. You don't. A lot of people don't want to be Robin and say, you know what? Hey, I understand what my role is and I'm happy with it and I love it. No, you want to be, especially when you feel
you
like.
Do you look at him, because you watch a lot of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a ton of basketball. Do you look at him as being an equal to Jason Tatum?
I don't.
Okay. Do you think a lot of people do?
No, I don't think a lot of people do.
No.
But he does.
Okay. Well, and he believes. I appreciate the confidence, but
Let me ask you this question.
Yes,
would he be the guy on his own team if Jason Tatum wasn't there? Like, if he went to another team,
depends on what the team is.
I mean, let's say Atlanta. Would
Yes.
Right?
But would that mean that they would win championships? I'm not sure of that. Like, I mean, so he would prefer to go to Atlanta.
Be the guy.
And be the guy, as opposed to being here with Jason Tatum and winning two or three more? Like, that's ridiculous to me.
Well, then, so then why is it all...
It would not be my approach to it.
Well, yeah, why, but unfortunately, Greg, not every athlete is driven by championships.
Right.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And why is every interview...
So he's driven by personal accolades.
Maybe first and then championship second. That's. It seems like it may be that case.
Or
yeah.
Championships, but...
Well, yeah, but yet he says in the interview, on Celtics blog interview, that the reason he's accepted his role is because he's a team guy.
Right.
So yeah, you can't be a me first guy and be a team guy also.
Right, but you it's kind of weird because it's like you are a team guy, but you let everybody know others about the sacrifices that you're having to make when your talent level.
It's like the what's the term for the work brag that we were talking about?
Oh, stress.
It's stress like bragging.
Stress bragging.
Right.
Like, okay, we get it. You accepted your role. Thank you. Like, I you don't need to tell us all the time. Like,
but he does because he's clearly unhappy with that role.
This is John from Longmeadow. Hey, John.
Hey, Greg, I'm with you. There's only, I don't know how many teams in basketball, 32 or 36, whatever the number is. So you can only have 36 number ones. I mean, yep. it takes a full team. We hear it in football all the time. These guys, receivers want the ball. They take plays off. You got to work with the guy. You're lucky to have a number one like him, and you're not second fiddle because you're winning. People fear you because of the talent on your team.
Yeah, that's the way I would look at it, but I'm not an NBA player, so I don't know. I don't. The max to me is the reward for being one of the best in your sport.
Yeah, I mean, he's a max player, but it's still being one of the best in your sport, but everybody wants to be the best on their team, or they want to be viewed as, this is my team, I'm the guy. This, like, we could go through every team in the NBA, the Knicks.
But you don't get this on other teams, I don't think. I mean, you don't get it, Steph Curry. Like, you don't get Klay Thompson bitching about his role.
It's because everybody knew Steph Curry was the top dog, and Klay Thompson's job was to shoot threes.
Right. Okay, so you're telling me that everybody doesn't know, including Jaylen Brown, that Jason Tatum is the top dog.
But Jaylen Brown believes that he should be the top dog.
See, I wouldn't say Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. It's more like Steph Curry and KD. So when KD got there, then it's like, wait a second. You know, Steph is the man, but KD's, you know, winning MVPs in the finals. But whose team is it? And that's kind of where the dynamic is with this. And the Celtics don't help because they always say Jason Tatum. So if you're Jaylen Brown, and every time there's a conversation about...
They say Jason Tatum because he is.
And so, but if you're Jaylen Brown, we talked about this during Celtic City. You're the third overall pick a year before Tatum. You expect that, okay, this is going to be my team. And then a year later, you draft my, not replacement, but the guy whose team you really wanted to be, and I'm... the next guy.
Yeah. And I'm open to this. Like a 413 texter on the Subaru of New England text line says we are twisting this around a little bit. Jaylen Brown just sounds to the texter like he's saying that you're going to see a better side of me because I'm going to get the opportunity. So maybe that's what he's saying.
Could be.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting what he's saying. It's possible.
But it's just like there's always a lot of stuff with him, though. Even if we are misinterpreting some
there
of the
baggage,
he never seems really, really happy.
Right, and he never
I like happy people.
Right,
he doesn't seem like he's happy,
and it always seems like he's not upset about the role, but
he wants to be praised for it all the time.
Yeah,
like he wants to be he wants to be told thank you so much. We know you're the best that there is, but we appreciate you accepting this role.
Yeah.
Even
though you wouldn't ask other players of my caliber to do it, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Right. I design everything. I've been a part of everything. So you got to support. You supporting, you know, independency, supporting, you know, creativity and ownership. So it's been fun. And I look forward to doing a lot of cool stuff, integrating science, integrating technology, also into it, you know, so kids can learn as well as be a part of the creative process.
Great player on the court, great man in the community, and a hater here on WEEI Afternoons and Ted Johnson. So Noah Dalzell, who does a great job covering the Celtics, also I think did a good job creating a relationship with Jaylen Brown by attending all his events and his pop-ups and different things, which generally pays off at some point if you're a reporter with a feature or a sit-down.
It's always this time of year.
Yep.
Right? Before the season starts.
Well, we brought this up because I know you're a little annoyed by some of these comments. We're going to get into that. And I said to these guys, wasn't it this time a year ago where Jason Tatum had that weird interview with Washington Magazine or something? And he's like, I don't get the respect I deserve. And if you took my name off it and just looked at the numbers, I'd get more respect. Like, this is bitching season.
No, both of them. Right. Both of them can do it.
And, well, I don't think them.
In the middle of summer.
I think NBA players. This is like bitching season where they're not doing anything. They're like, I don't get enough respect. Well, I don't get loved enough. Like,
No, you're right. But it's the players I care about are the Celtics. And when it feels like an annual thing in the summer, there's always an article about not being respected.
Yep.
And today it's Jaylen Brown basically saying, I can't be myself because of the politics in Boston. Please explain what he's trying to say there. What does he mean when he says
he
that?
He tiptoes through the race issue we were talking about.
Is that what it is?
Absolutely. Before he got the contract, he talked about not being comfortable, not being able to do business.
Said he couldn't buy a house.
He was questioning the racism, like just potential racism in banking and business and money.
He didn't speak plainly.
No, and a lot of people never do. Like, they don't. They kind of tiptoe because if you say it all in, now you're all in. Now you're like pot committed, as they say in the gambling world. And he's a smart guy. He's a Boston Celtic. We saw it when we were down there at Scores.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a pop-up shop. He wants to sell sneakers and hoodies and things outside. So, like, you got to be careful. Is he edgy? Is he involved in the community? And does he want to push certain agendas? Absolutely. Does he also want to be a businessman and be popular? I think both. And I think it's sometimes tough to do those things. There was one quote in here. So there's some different quotes we'll talk about. He kind of rehashed some of the stuff he's talked about in the past, not being able to be himself and play his game and subjugating his ego to steal a word from the Patriot world and all of that. A lot of nodding and head, a lot of movement going on from Ted Johnson.
I'm agreeing with you. Yes, yes, yes.
But I think maybe why I like him, there was one quote here that jumped out to me, a very simple few words. I disagree with a lot of things. That really resonated with me because I tend to disagree with a lot of things. He went on to say, I've had to change roles, styles. I've had to do things that other players of my talent just haven't had to do, and I've been okay with them because I've always been a team guy.
I feel
like sometimes that gets taken for granted. Do you not believe that to be true?
No.
What is
the style? What does he want to play? What am I missing when I watch him play?
First fiddle.
What?
100%.
Not second fiddle. First fiddle. He has always been second fiddle to the anointed one. Jason Tatum arrived, and he was the next Paul Pierce and Kobe.
What are you talking about? You're saying, okay, so the fans think he's a second fiddle. What does that have to do with his role on the basketball court?
Just the fans. I think the coaches. I think the organization. Okay, I think
well, he doesn't say that clearly. I don't know what he's saying
I think that's what he's saying. Like, you're right. He didn't flat out say Joe Mazzulla makes me the Robin of this team.
So he doesn't shoot as much as he wants, or he doesn't play the minutes he
style he wants.
What is the style that he doesn't get to play?
Not the slow walking Jason Tatum dribble dribble three Jason Tatum. Like, that style, I'm not sure is always in the best interest of the Boston Celtics, and Jaylen Brown sees that.
You know what? Jaylen Brown had an opportunity to go somewhere else. He signed a max deal, $300 million. For a guy that signs a contract to stay here for all that money, the highest paid player a couple years ago, and still complain, it just comes off, it's tone deaf to me.
100%. And you just triggered me in a memory. You had a teammate in Richard Seymour that either overtly or covertly would bitch about being a Patriot, Belichick, some of the things that were on the players, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he signed a massive deal. But he did later. But he signed a contract, and I'm like, well, you signed a contract. If it's so bad here, take your services elsewhere. You're a Pro Bowl caliber. People will want you. People will pay you. The one big difference for Jaylen Brown is he makes more with the Celtics than anywhere else. The only place he could sign the Supermax because of the whole NBA, CBA hierarchy was with the Celtics. So he went where the money was. Now, he also probably likes winning and likes the organization. And do you think he absolutely hates or regrets his role? Because I don't. I think he's just pointing out, I do these things. Like, I do give something up to be a Boston Celtic and
I'd just
be
like to know
mate.
What that is. He just talks in ambiguity. He doesn't really, he's not direct. He kind of talks in circles. And I think he talks out of both sides of his mouth. And that's what makes it frustrating. I don't know what he's, they put handcuffs on him? Like, he can't be what are you talking about? He basically gets to do, I can't see him on the court and think, oh, he's not the player he really wants to be.
Or he's clearly being held back.
Yeah, I can't
I tell
see
you,
that.
It's funny that you, so you don't really like Jaylen Brown. Is that
you know what?
Fair
I don't
fair?
Like this stuff. This is the stuff I do not like.
Okay. But I think the interesting part is, I think he agrees with Ted Johnson, the Celtics analyst, more than you'd think. I think he would like a team that plays basketball with less threes, more defense, more aggression, more physicality. He has over the years. It was a story a couple years ago before they won the title, Dan Ball, that they would finish huddles, and instead of saying, like, go Celtics, he'd say, defense!
Right.
When he thought they were getting away from their roots as a defensive-first team. And they did. Their defense started to become – they were good, but it wasn't the priority anymore. They started to become a little bit more of an offensive team, a Jason Tatum three-point team.
I also don't love that, by the way. If you feel that way, say something. Don't do like a passive-aggressive cheer and then go back and play.
So I agree with that. There is some things, and he did say, I'm different. I've done different things, pissed people off, made people not like me, things like that. I appreciate those who show up. We have people show up in the rain. They're very appreciated by me. He acknowledges this right here. That there, if there are five Celtics fans out there, three might like him, two don't. Or
yeah,
two
it's like
the
shirt that you own. I'm not for everyone.
He should absolutely have that shirt.
Yeah.
He is not for everyone.
That should be 741 branded.
On the, on the floor
so
the
or the few people that don't like him, he's got an issue with, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably something to that.
He wants everyone to love him. That's not possible.
No, I don't think he wants everyone to love him.
Okay. That's what it sounds like.
I think he just sees some hypocrisy at times.
When he says, I've had to deal with a lot. I feel like I haven't been able to be myself in certain capacities because of the politics.
Yeah.
What is he talking about?
I don't really know. Now, I can tell you, like, my sort of perception as a Jaylen Brown fan and a Jason Tatum hater at times. I think he's annoyed by the anointment of Jason Tatum.
And
just like he feels like Jason Tatum is the guy, if they were going to make a big trade, they're going to call Jason Tatum and then maybe they text Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Like that Jason Tatum is more invested or tied into the organization than he is. That's just what I read.
The last quote is the closest he gets, Ted, to saying that. I feel like I'm very talented. I'm one of the talented people in this league on this planet. I feel like I'm looking forward to showing the world more. He just wants to be a number one.
Let's go.
He believes he should be a number one on the Celtics or somewhere else. But to your point, all right, so ask for a trade. Don't sign the deal.
Get out.
Go somewhere where you can be a number one. Ask to be that. Go to, say, trade me to Dallas for Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, bro.
Or what, you know, whatever. You
or make a bad pass and make Jason Tatum adjust to it, tear his Achilles, and get your chance to be a number one here.
Perfect. Play right according to plan.
But what does that say? Here's a guy that would rather be a number one than being a part of a team that wins championships.
Yeah, and then the same thing, he's saying it's such a team player.
Well, he won a title. He stayed here. He chose to be second fiddle to Jason. So his actions.
What a burden it's been on me. What a burden,
yeah,
Ted.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I don't care for the tone of this room right now.
Speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
No. His actions are what you guys want. His words are what annoy you. Is that fair? Like, his actions are, he played second fiddle to Jason Tatum. He plays the style that Joe Mazzulla wants to play. And he has been a good teammate. And he has helped you win a title. Like, all those things that you want. And then he has to remind you, though, I could be something else.
Yeah, he's kind of open mouth, insert foot.
A little bit. A little bit.
You're going into a year where it's you know, I don't know, it's his kind of team right now. And this is what this is the tone he sets. It's just kind of, the timing of it just always, every summer, I feel like we get one of these articles about Jaylen Brown and his just, you know, displeasure with the city and the town and the team. And It to me, it just falls on deaf ears, man.
So I give him credit, though. To me, this puts an even bigger bullseye on him, an absolute big bullseye.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Because when he says, I'm looking forward to showing that.
Like, let's go, bro.
Right? He's going to get his opportunity to show the world. Now, if I were him, part of this article would have been, now I would have preferred they not trade away two key veteran players and tear the team down around me when it's my first shot to be the number one.
But it doesn't matter. He's one of the most talented people on the planet, and he's excited to show you that.
He is.
Doesn't matter.
Hopefully he works on his ball handling this offseason. I'm a little worried about that.
But
that point is well taken. I think he's definitely good. You know, part of me is like, yes, you just put yourself in a corner, JB. Now it's this is what you want. Let's see how it goes.
So JB,
man.
I need about 26 points. I need about 8 rebounds, 7 assists, still a steal a game, and I need wins. I need a playoff team as a top 4 seed. That is your challenge. If you're as good as you think you are, and you're as good as I've been selling for 5 years on this flipping radio station, you'll get your ass out there and you'll live up to it.
I mean, he's had a couple opportunities. You know, JT got hurt in a finals game with his ankle early in the game. We saw how that turned out.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
You saw last year how it turned out against the Knicks.
I saw the second to last game of this season where he was awesome. Then mm-hmm. I saw the last game where no one else showed up.
Well, there's
little minute samplings, but now it's going to be game after game, night after night. It's going to be 82 of them. Hopefully that he gets his ass out there and leads the Boston Celtics. That's going to do we didn't fight as much as I thought we were going to there.
No.
I was surprised. You were kind of a little bit on my side, or at least understood my point of view.
I can be objective.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, I can be objective. I disagree with a lot of things, just like Jaylen Brown, but I can be objective. He has his warts, and he has a lot to prove this year.
I feel like people haven't seen me at my best because we have a loaded roster. So sometimes you got to do what needs to be done as a team.
Hour number 3 of Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones out rest of the week. Billy Lanny has slid over. Justin Turpin now in the house for some pure hoops. Turp, how are you?
What's up, boys?
How are you?
That was, of course, the voice of one Jaylen Brown. He was at the Garden last night for the Caitlin Clark game.
So was George Niang. You see that?
Yes.
The beef is behind them.
Thank God. So we can all rest easy. Those guys don't hate each other. So we can embrace George Niang. Will George Niang even be on the team when the season starts?
I think he will be.
Okay.
I think he will be. At this point, it seems like this is the roster that they're going to enter the season with. I think Brad Stevens made that rather clear the other day. They're still less than a $500,000 over the second apron, and that's a move they can get under by just waiving J.D. Davison. It's that simple for them. So I think this is kind of what they're going to enter the season with. I think they were actively shopping Niang and Simons and possibly even Hauser, but I'm not sure that was the case the way Brad Stevens talks about Hauser, but feels like this is what they're going to enter the season with, and they're comfortable as they will be. I think Brad Stevens pretty much admitted the front court is going to be terrible, and they're just going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, we're kind of punting on the front court. They have a good backcourt.
Yeah, the backcourt's great. The front court, not so much. When you're going in with Luka Garza, who has been like a per 36, I don't know if you're a per 36 analytical measure here, but
hey,
he's been a darling in that department.
Minutes, Xavier points, Tillman, assists, rebounds.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Give me the big five.
Right.
Xavier Tillman, he's going to play a little bit of the five, but he's more of a four. He's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Obviously, his knees have been an issue as well. And then you'll have Namish Keita, who has had big games for the Celtics. Like, he's won them games, specifically 2 years ago.
He had a stretch there where I was trying to convince Jones that he was good.
We were riding the train.
Yeah, we were.
We were all over it.
He kind of got a little quiet.
They're going to enter with those guys and see what happens. I think Charles Bassey now on the Summer League roster does present in decent kind of option here as well, because you can't enter the year with just three bigs and two and a half, really, because Tillman's not necessarily a five, so you're going to need to add someone there.
How small can you go? This is going to be like there was an old Villanova lineup, not the Jalen Brunson team, but the prior to that, it was Kyle Lowry and like Mike Nardi, Randy Foy, Allen. They went four guards. Like, they always went four guards. I feel like that might be the Celtics.
They're going to play small this year, and they're going to play fast. And it's going to be interesting because offensively, they could, especially if they keep Simons, they could put up 125 points a game, but the other team could put up 145.
Right.
Like, you're looking at a bottom five at the very least defense this year.
Ugh.
You don't have any front, you don't have any rim protection.
No.
You don't have any bigs to slow those guys down. And if you look around the league, just how important the center position is, like, Celtics are in a bad situation in that department.
Ugh. Are they still low seed?
low seed playoff team?
I would say so. I would say so. I mean, it's a team with Derek White, Jalen Brown, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser. Like, there's still talent on this team. Now, what I would wonder is if Jalen Brown rolls his ankle, an injury that last year or the year before, any year in his career, would have cost him three games, is now 2 months, just kind of shutting him down. Because you don't want to overextend these guys. I think that's probably the number one thing. The worst thing you can possibly do is overextend a guy like Jalen or Derek and have them get hurt. And then you're not fully healthy entering the 2026-27 season, which is what this seems like it's all about.
So as like the casual fan, like that's what I'm asking, in the sense of like, will this team be worth watching throughout the year, or as opposed to like, all right, I'll check in the beginning of the summer for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun team to watch. I mean, we've seen teams like this before, like the Isaiah Thomas Celtics. Like this team could kind of be like that, where there's not a lot of expectations.
A chippy team full of hot.
Right, and sometimes that makes it more fun.
There is, though, a lot of expectations on Jalen Brown, and he's kind of put it on himself. So we just played that cut coming back. He was on with Kyrie Irving, which is another sort of aside, which I know he's friends with Kyrie, but as a Celtics fan, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And it's like, those two specifically butt heads when they were here. When Kyrie was here, I mean, those two guys didn't get along. Then Kyrie leaves. Everybody here in Boston can't stand the guy. And now all of a sudden, like, he and Jalen Brown are like best buds. And Brown got into some issues with some of his like support of Kyrie, where it wasn't just about like Kyrie the person or the player. It was some of the posts that Kyrie had and some of like who he was associating with. And then Jalen Brown got kind of caught into that mess. So like, Jalen Brown to me is a... he makes it hard to root for him with some of that stuff, and like hanging out with Kyrie Irving. And you're like, whatever. Like, you can hang out with whoever you want to, but I also can feel any way I want to. On the court, like, he plays hard. He's an easy player to kind of root for your team. But some of the other stuff is just kind of like an eye roll.
Right. It helps too, because he wants to be the man.
He does. You know, like, so great. Let's see what this looks like this year.
That is the best part. Knowing that that guy wants to be higher than he already is. I mean, you were finals MVP. You're making a ton of money, and yet he still thinks there's more to do, and that's what's exciting to watch.
And I think that's part of the thing that's bothering him.
There's a lot bothering him. We'll get to this article coming up. Yeah.
Finally, he is the guy. Like, there's always been 1A, 1B. It's always been him versus Tatum. It's always been that way. Finally, he is the guy, and here we are talking about, like, oh, they could be a low playoff seed. Like, all of a sudden, there's no expectations. And the team, granted, it's because of the situation they were in, and I'm sure he understands this, the team didn't really do a whole lot to surround talent around him, right? Finally, Jalen's the guy. He's got a chance to prove what he is, and he's a very prideful individual. So, like, he's going to take this opportunity and be excited to roll with it. But the team selling off pieces, you're bringing in low-end free agents that have potential upside that could complement you in the future. And it seems like every time you say a retool, like, what exactly is a retool? It's a mini rebuild, is it not?
Yeah, of course.
Like, there's no,
especially with such a small
really...
roster.
Right.
It's not like other sports where there's a million players.
You lose one starter due to injury, and then you trade two starters. Like, you're down three starters from last year. Like, you're not going to be the same.
I mean, just think about the guys they lost this offseason. Kristaps Porzingis, Jrue Holiday, Luke Kornet, and eventually Al Horford. That's a playoff roster.
Right.
Just the guys they lost in general. So it's tough to make up that ground, especially when you're kind of handicapped in what you can do because of the financial situations and the basketball penalties. And I think for the most part, fans understand that the moves they were making wasn't because of financials.
Brad Stevens straight up said it. Part of it, yes.
I mean, part of it is like, I mean, you can't really justify spending $500 million on a roster that doesn't have your best player.
Right.
And not to mention, they were going to lose in the second round anyway.
They were done.
Tatum got hurt. You never know what happened. Like, they were moments away from being down 3-1. They were going to lose that series no matter what, which makes it even harder. So that's just life in the NBA now. Like, it's going to happen. Like, the money's going to play a factor. All the basketball penalties, all that's going to factor in. And, you know, it's just a kind of firsthand, the Celtics are the first team to experience it. And that's kind of tough to swallow.
So Jalen Brown's been doing a lot of different things in the community, really his entire time here in Boston, and this summer, that's no exception. He also did an interview with Noah Dalzell. Is that how you say it?
Noah Dalzell, yeah.
Dalzell, yeah. So Celtics blog, it's a great breakdown, a lot of really, really good quotes in here from Jalen Brown, including, you know, how he feels about the city, but also how he feels about the team. And he was asked about, like, on-court sacrifices that he's made. This quote jumped out to me. I want to get your take on this, Turpin Billy. Quote, "I disagree with a lot of things. I've had to change roles, styles. I've had to do things that other players of my talent just haven't had to do, and I've been okay with them because I've always been a team guy. I feel like sometimes that gets taken for granted." Okay. What do you think of that part? There's more, but like that's sort of what he disagrees with a lot of things. He changes roles, and other players as good as he is wouldn't have, have been asked to do that.
Honestly, I think he just said the quiet part out loud. I mean, everyone, every NBA player does say that. And people on the team the last 2 years too, like Derek White at times has mentioned to Kristaps Porzingis, they all want to take more shots, right? Every basketball player wants to shoot the ball and score more points. And I think Jalen is no different, and he wants to do that as well. I think also with him, like when they did kind of change, when they brought in the new iteration of the Celtics and Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, if you remember, thinking back to the 2023-24 season, it took him a little bit of time to adjust. Like he was one of the ones that was really the most affected by it, because he went from being like a clear number two to like some nights it was Derek White, other nights it was Kristaps Porzingis. And Jalen was still terrific in that season. I think his best season was actually the 2023-24 season. Like that was his best regular season and postseason.
Yeah, that was when he got all NBA, right?
Right. He was phenomenal that entire year. So I think he said the quiet part out loud, because I think a lot of players feel this way.
So I understand, like, he is viewed as the second best player on the team. So despite being finals MVP and an NBA champion, like, he's just viewed by everybody, with the exception of probably him, as the second best player. He did take almost 18 shots a game, which is easily in the top 20 in the NBA. So there's 30 NBA teams. You take the 17th most shots. Tatum's above you on that list. But I'm just curious, like, what is he talking about, like, sacrifices? Like, they won a title 2 years ago. So whatever they asked you to do, like, I guess they asked, you know, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett to sacrifice in 08. They did. They won a title. Like, is he looking at this as, it comes across, and the problem is this is just in print.
Right.
So, like, you can't really, like, read into, like, how he's saying it. You can't
do that. Important.
So is he like, hey, I bought into this, and, like, it's worked for my career and for the team? Or is he like, hey, like, give me credit for sacrificing all of this. Not a lot of people would do that. Like, is he mad about being asked about to do this?
There was another quote in there towards the end that he was saying how it was all worth it because they ended up bringing back Bannery to him, and obviously he played a key role in that. I wonder if it's just the style of play as well. Like, Jason and Jalen kind of combat each other in the way they play. Like, Jason's a really, he likes to slow it down. It's a lot more like, we're going to work, he's going to just use his skill, where Jalen's one of the best players in the league in transition. And there's kind of, we talked about it when Tatum went down. It's like, how different are the Celtics going to play? Like, we're going to see it firsthand this year. They're going to play a lot more. They'll play a lot quicker this year with Jalen at the helm. Like, that's just how he wants to play. So maybe it's because of the style of play. Maybe it's just the limelight of, like, hey, I've always been in Jason's shadow. Like, that's just been the reality for him since he came in the league.
So how much change do you think there was from Ime to Mazzulla that impacted Brown? And then there was now change when Porzingis and all those guys come in. So, like, is he saying this is technically the third time he's had to make an adjustment because Tatum's out?
Yeah, I think the Ime system, in a way, might have fit Jalen a little bit better because Jalen's just so big on defense.
Right.
And so is Mazzulla, especially after his first year. And that was the one big thing after Mazzulla's first year. He really honed in on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they wanted to be a top defensive team. Like, that's how they wanted to play. And they've done that to their credit. Like, the scheme has worked. They've been a great defensive team. But Ime obviously has one of the best defensive schemes in the league, one of the best coaches. I know that's Keith's guy.
He's the best coach.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, great job defensively, like what he does with his team. So, yeah, I mean, there are different kind of changes he's had to make, and, you know, maybe that wears on a player. I also, like, again, it's the tone in this as well. Like, I don't think it's necessarily complaining per se. It's like, you know, it's been well chronicled what he's been through in Boston, going back from the night he was drafted and the draft night booze. And that's something he doesn't forget about.
No.
And then for years,
which again is wrong. Like, I get his point, and I also get his point of holding a grudge. Like, I'm very pro holding a grudge. I think it's the most healthy thing you can do. But no, he is still pissed about being booed on draft night, but what he doesn't understand, and I'm sure people have told him this a million times, the boos weren't for him.
Right.
Which he doesn't get, and if he needs that for motivation, I guess great, and so be it. But it was literally because that's when Wick came out with the fireworks quote. They're gonna make fire, they're gonna trade for Jimmy Butler or Paul George or whoever else on that list. They didn't even really know who Jaylen Brown was. He played 1 year at Cal. I don't think a lot of people were watching a lot of Cal basketball.
No, not Pac-12.
So, no, and me and Jones were there. We were doing a draft show at the Garden, sick brag, and everybody booed it, but they were booing that. And then he became a great player, and fans love him. People love, he won't accept it, and some people are just this way. But I think the fan base, for the most part, because you can't get any fan base to 100% agree on anything. But I would say the vast majority of fans love Brown. Wouldn't you say so?
I would agree with that. I think maybe he's falling into a majority on Twitter that, you know, it's not a nice place there if you haven't learned.
Yeah,
it's
not
a great place there. Maybe he's reading too much into that.
But, like, it's easy to avoid. But like, you don't have to be on Twitter. If there's hate on Twitter, avoid it. And then how much hate is there then in your real life?
Please.
That's not real life. This is fake life.
Right, and I think that's part of this offseason that's kind of been therapeutic to him is having all these, being so active in the community and seeing all these people standing out in the rain or whatever it may be to support him, and these guys, everyone coming up and just telling him how much he means to them in the city. I think that kind of changes his perception. And I think just after the championship in 2024, I think there was a different kind of change in his demeanor. Like, he seemed more confident. It was a weight off their shoulders on the court and just off the court. I feel like he felt more accepted in a way. And, you know, I don't know if he's spoken about this on the record and he hasn't said anything to me about it, but like, that's just kind of the feeling that I got, that like, he felt more comfortable after the championship, felt more appreciated.
So they do think it's the people online that are saying these things, the shut up and play basketball people.
Right.
It's such a small number of people, but obviously they use that as a motivation.
Right. I mean, I think he went in there and said, like, people don't like the community stuff that he does.
Yeah. I mean, who's going to say that?
Like,
there's an idiot to say everything, though. Right. Like, and if that's what you want to point to, I guess so be it. And maybe everybody is a little bit guilty of that. You know, if 100 people tell you did a great job, and then one person says you suck, you're more likely to remember the one guy that says you suck than you are the 100 that think you're great. And there are other players, like, look at Kevin Durant. Every couple of months, Kevin Durant gets in like a back and forth on Twitter. Like, he can't hit it. Like, dude, you've made $500 million. You're one of the greatest players of all time. But if somebody says, like, you're not clutch, like, you like lose your mind.
Right.
He's shameless now. He just does it on his regular account. Yeah. He used to make, like,
he had burners.
No,
he
now
he's just burners.
He's,
now he's like,
he's been exposed so many times. Like, what do you have to lose? Just go out with the regular account.
But it is weird. I mean, you know, I guess in that case, like, some guys are just never going to be completely happy, because there are some quotes in there talking about he can't be himself in Boston. And it goes back to, like, all right, like, is he going to be here for the long haul? But the answer is, yeah, he already has. Like, the guy's about to enter his 10th year with the Celtics, is under the Supermax deal. Now, not a lot of players start and finish their career in one place, regardless.
Especially now. It's going to be so rare in today's NBA. These max contracts, I mean, teams aren't going to be able to live with two or three guys on a max contract.
Right.
I mean, you can, but you have to be really good at building the roster lower on. So I think we're going to see that more and more. But I will say, too, it feels like every time Jalen gets the chance to express his love for the city, he does it.
Yeah.
Like, he's very clear that he's happy in Boston. He loves it here. Now, there's some things that he doesn't like, and I think that'd be anywhere. But I feel like, for the most part, he seems happy in the situation. I mean, doesn't love all aspects, and it's not going to be perfect. But for the most part,
Celtic City, I thought, was pretty interesting. Like, the documentary,
right?
When, you know, him and, like, Bill Russell, and just sort of like him talking about that pretty openly. I thought that whole thing was pretty good. But more like on the court, he had a great quote too at the end of this article, where he's just like, "I feel like I'm very talented. I'm one of the most talented people in this league, on this planet. I'm looking forward to showing the world more," which, great, because next season is going to be all about him. Like, you're the guy. Like, you are clearly the guy.
Right, you asked for it. You're going
to
get it.
Oh, my God. I mean, how many shots per game is he going to be allowed to take next year? Like, 25?
I mean, we went through the numbers a couple weeks ago. We went through the numbers. I mean, with Jason Tatum out, you're missing about a quarter of your shots per game.
Yeah.
A quarter of your points, a quarter of your assists, a quarter of your rebounds. There's so much ground.
And that's just Tatum.
Just Tatum. Then you got Kristaps Porzingis, and Drew Holiday didn't shoot as much, but Drew Holiday also factors into that. Al Horford, just think about all the guys you lost. Now, again, I just it's going to be interesting to see how much they actually push him and how much they let him go, because you don't want to overextend him. I think the Celtics, when you keep saying retool, that's a mini rebuild, right?
It is.
You're gearing
no doubt.
Up for next year. Like, we're going to see what happens. We're going to play free this year, see what happens. We've seen these teams go on a run before, but it's gearing up for next year. And are you going to overextend Jalen and potentially running the risk of him getting hurt or whatever? I don't know.
No, like, probably not. So last year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the league in shot attempts per game at 21.8.
Tatum fifth.
Fourth. 20.4. So four guys averaged 20 or more shots. Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham, and SGA. Brown's going to smash that.
That's crazy that SGA is that high, considering how many free throws he takes.
Yeah, too. How many real, like, actual shot shots
actual
did he take
shots
in the game?
Per game is he taking for?
Because, like, then he also took nine free throws a game. Yeah.
That's incredible that he's that high. But, yeah, there's going to be tons of opportunity on this offense.
And
as much as people are talking about Jaylen Brown as the true one, I'm also excited to see what can Derek White do as a two.
Sure,
what can Peyton Pritchard do as a three? Yep. Like, see what Anthony Simons got. Like, it's going to be fun in that sense to see what they have. Because at this point, it's like, there are no expectations. That's just the reality. Like, Brad Stevens can come out as much as he wants and say, oh, the North Star is contending for a championship. Well, the North Star is miles and miles and miles away at this point. Like, with, you can't seriously enter the year with the front court that you have and be like, hey, no, don't worry, we're trying to contend. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't with the front court that you have. That's just not reality. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be a lot of experimenting and finding out what you have on this roster for the future. And I think that's something that fans can be excited about.
And it's corny and it's a cliche, but the most important thing is getting through the season healthy.
Right.
Is what it is.
So, you're going into next year with Tatum, and you're like, all right.
And hopefully some momentum.
All the money that's coming off the books, too. I mean, Simons and Niang, their contracts, if they finish the season here, their contracts will be expiring. You're going to be under the first apron by, I think, $18 million next year. So you'll have all these assets that you didn't have access to. You'll be well under the second apron. Yeah. And, you know, you'll have plenty of opportunity to mix and match then. So it's unfortunate. And I think the conversation would be a little bit different if Tatum was still healthy. I think the trades were made in terms of Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday were completely inevitable. Like, that was going to happen. I think maybe had they won the championship, they would have kept it and they would have really dipped back into the second apron, because you had just won back-to-back titles, and a new owner's going to come in and be like, nah, you know what, we're going to dump these two guys.
Even if you didn't win it, but Tatum was healthy,
they were going to trade him off. They were getting another second apron.
Maybe you get Horford back, though, because Tatum returning and the East being wide open, he's like, all right, that's at least a place worth.
I completely agree with that, because that's when Horford's tune changed. It was kind of right after the Tatum injury, when it's like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to come back for another year. Like, we'll see. And it seems like he is, and it seems like it's Golden State's the answer. So
interesting.
Maybe if Tatum was healthy, there'd be more of an incentive for guys like Horford and Cornette. I thought Cornette, too. He's turning 30 this summer.
Gotcha.
Hasn't made a ton of money in the NBA.
He got his money
now. So he goes out and gets paid. Like, I think that was inevitable, but you probably would have had Horford,